This is Studio A from Interlochen Public Radio.
Welcome to Studio A at Interlochen Public Radio. I'm Amanda Sewell. Gordon Hawkins is an acclaimed baritone who's sung on stages around the world, from Carnegie Hall to the Met. He's shared the operatic stage with Mirella Freni, Placido Domingo, and Grace Bunbury, just to name a few. And he's here in Studio A with us today. Hi, welcome.
Well, thank you. How are you doing, Amanda?
Nice to have you. I can't wait to hear you sing. This is very exciting. I'm wondering if our little Studio A can contain your voice, because you have played pretty much every leading baritone in every major opera over your career. You've been Marcello in La Bohème and the title roles in Porgy and Rigoletto, and there are newer American operas you've done by Greg Kallur and Janine Tesori. Is it even possible for you to pick a favorite role that you've played?
It's possible, but I would say the most fun, there are two. Anybody who has a chance to sing Scarpia in Tosca only wants to do that more, right? So that has to be one. The unexpected one for me later on in my career was Alberich. I didn't know Alberich would be that much fun to sing. I knew it would be that much work, but I didn't know it would be that much fun to play all of those colors and emotions and to hear that orchestra come back at you. Those two would be favorites.
And to balance the voice with the orchestra and the Wagnerian, it's a challenge.
I think it's a mental challenge. I guess it depends on the person. For me, it was a bit of a mental challenge in that I had all this baggage going up through college about what Wagner is. Similar to Verdi, when you hear those two names, you kind of go, but I was very, very lucky to have some fabulous conductors that made the experience of doing it not so hysterically anxious. Donald Runicles, he's in Berlin, and he was in San Francisco for a long time. And my earlier connection with it was with a conductor named Hermann Michael, who used to be in Berlin as well. But those two gentlemen they made the experience of being involved in that more than just what your voice was doing. They made the experience about the whole zeitgeist of the thing. You're part of this huge thing. And that was so exhilarating that I sort of forgot myself a bit, which is great.
Well, we're going to have you sing something a little less villainous, I suppose, in Studio A.
Yeah, I would hope. With
Samuel Barber's Shore on this Shining Night. Can I ask how long you've been singing this song? You said muscle memory when we were setting up earlier.
Amanda, I think I've been singing this song. I'm sure I have been singing this song longer than you have been alive. I was probably 20. 21, so that's
a couple years.
46 years ago.
Okay.
My God.
And it'll come right back to you.
I hope so.
Well, let's hear Gordon Hawkins with collaborative pianist Casey Robards in IPR's Studio A with Samuel Barber Shore on this Shining Night.
Shining night of silent shadows round, kindness must watch for me beside the ground. The summer holds the earth.
We're in Studio A at Interlochen Public Radio. That is baritone Gordon Hawkins with collaborative pianist Casey Robards performing Samuel Barber's Shore on This Shining Night. Now, Gordon Hawkins, you are here at Interlochen working with the students in the Voice and Opera program during this year's Voice Festival. What do you tell them if they say they would like to sing at the Met Opera one day? Or they would like to sing Alberich one day?
I would encourage them to do it. I would say it's a musical life is probably one of the most rewarding passports that you could have. And I would encourage them to do it. That said, and I'm going to be a little bit stickly on this. I wouldn't advise any young singer, particularly a young singer in high school, to focus on opera straight away. I think there's so many different images and connotations, stigmas that are attached to opera, big, loud, grand. I want them to be just the opposite. I want them to connect to the intimacy. I want them to connect to the language, to the poetry. I want them to be able to find themselves. Even under the best of circumstances, it's difficult to find yourself, to find the craft, I should say, of singing if you build in the component of being larger than life. It's something that projects bigger than what a 16 or 17-year-old should be.
So where would you advise them to begin then?
Art song. Art song. Anything that makes them intimately and lovingly and passionately and generously connected to the music. If it is opera, great. It would be rare, but that might be the case. But finding art songs, my connection was through church and spirituals. Anything that makes them feel excited about vibrating and sharing their sound, as opposed to marketing and selling and projecting their sound. That connection, that intimacy is what I think will keep you in it.
Do you have a particular composer or a poet that you would direct a 16 or 17-year-old singer to?
It's funny. I can only tell you what I found. I remember distinctly being 13 years old and fishing through my brother's records, LPs. And I came across a recording of Leontine Price singing Barber's Hermit Songs.
With Barber himself?
Yeah. That did it for me. That did it for me. Because there was something about the simplicity of it and the lyricism of it. I think Barber's wildly underrated as a composer. It's brilliant, you know. Of course, Menotti sort of overshadowed a little bit, but that we won't get into that. But Samuel Barber's Hermit Songs and the Knoxville 1950 with Eleanor Stieber singing, even though he wrote it originally for Leontine. But I remember my brother had that recording. So that and the AG, the text, the poem. Would I... If I had the power, and I guess I do teaching, you sort of have an influence, I would remind these 16 and 17-year-olds that there are people out there who have written poems that can actually speak to their condition, their feelings, maybe even a little bit more than some of the Schubert and Schumann, because that's not our native tongue, but... If I were a 16-year-old and I came across the Emily Dickinson songs, I would go, hey, this person speaks something that I understand. That would be something that would lead me to explore more.
And who at 16 hasn't thought, will forget him.
Yeah, it might not be as deep as that, but just when you said that, I know that song so well and I have that feeling so well that it takes me to a place. And sometimes, particularly in, not just singers, but sometimes when singers have that connection with that place, they forget about the pressure of having to make this perfect sound. because what they're doing is making this honest statement, and that's what we're looking for.
Well, Gordon Hawkins, you have sung so many roles, so many parts. What's left? Is there something you haven't done yet? Pangloss? I don't know. Like, no, what's you've probably done Pangloss. What am I saying?
No, it's funny. My wish list. I might be a bit long in the tooth for it, but my wish list. There are two roles that I haven't done that I wanted to do. One of them is I always wanted to do Falstaff. I just wanted to do that Shakespearean full mature verity where you are an acting singer with your voice as opposed to the rigors of being perfectly bel canto. You have to paint. And I want to do that. The other one is Iago. I've done it in concert version. I've done it with orchestra, but I've never done it fully staged. And I think at this point in my life, I understand theater well enough to be able to know how to project those characters.
Does the baritone ever get to play the good guy?
Because
seem like a really nice guy, but these are all bad guy roles.
I know. Well, you know, this is all therapy. When you work out all your evil on the stage,
I don't
take it out on your family.
Okay. So Gordon Hawkins is currently on the faculty at Arizona State University and has appeared on opera stages around the world. He's working with Interlochen Arts Academy voice students this weekend and will also take the stage himself at the chapel on Saturday night during the faculty and guest artist recital. We've got details at classicalipr.org. Gordon, thank you so much for being with us today.
Pleasure. Thank you for having me.
This edition of Studio A was engineered by Michael Culler. Digital production support came from Isabel Lee and Scott Clemens. Thanks to Ty Chico and Casey Robards for additional support. I'm Amanda Sewell. Thanks for listening.
Studio A is a production of Interlochen Public Radio, part of Interlochen Center for the Arts. Learn more at interlochenpublicradio.org.